Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children.
Today we're talking about a topic that's been on many parents' minds, the UK government's proposed SEND reforms and what they might mean for families like ours.
To start things off, let's define what an EHCP is and why it matters. An EHCP, or Education, Health and Care Plan, is a legal document that outlines a child's special educational needs and the support that they must receive at school and beyond.
Yeah, the thing is that these plans are essential because they ensure that children receive the necessary support to thrive. However, the possibility of EHCPs being scrapped has, like, understandably left so many of us feeling anxious about the future of our children. EHCPs aren't often something that are easy to get, and a lot of families have fought really hard to secure them.
So what's changing? The government has stated that the SEND system is on its knees and that local authorities are struggling to meet demand. Reforms are expected to be announced in October, but there's considerable concern among parents and professionals that these changes could reduce support rather than address existing problems.
Yeah, that's a significant worry. An EHCP is a legally binding document that ensures children and young people with special educational needs in England receive appropriate support from their local authority. It's vital for their educational journey and overall well-being.
Definitely. Full details of the proposed changes are due in October, but ministers have not ruled out scrapping the education plans altogether, insisting that no decisions have been made yet. This uncertainty is particularly troubling, especially in light of recent welfare changes prompted by a rebellion among backbench Labour MPs. The Education Secretary indicated that this has made future spending decisions harder, which just adds to the anxiety.
Right, and the numbers tell a compelling story. Data from the Department for Education released in June showed that the number of EHCPs had increased significantly. In January 2025, there were 638,745 EHCPs in place, reflecting a 10.8% increase from the previous year.
And it doesn't end there. The number of new plans initiated during 2024 grew by 15.8%, compared to the previous year, reaching 97,747. Requests for children to be assessed for EHCPs rose by 11.8% to 154,489 in 2023, just illustrating the increasing demand for support, which local authorities are struggling to manage.
A spokesperson from the Department for Education has attempted to reassure us, stating, "We have been clear that there are no plans to abolish, send tribunals or to remove funding or support from children, families and schools." However, many of us remain sceptical given the ongoing challenges. And earlier today, Nat, you sent me the response to the government's petition that we signed, the Retain Legal Right to Assessment and Support in Education for Children with SEND. I think what's really important here is reading between the lines in what they say. So, you know, they open with, "There will always be a legal right to additional support for children with SEND. No decisions have been made on changes to legislation. We are engaging with families on improvements to SEND provision. As part of our plan for change, we are determined to improve the system of support for children with SEND and their families. We are working to restore families' trust by ensuring early years, schools and post-16 settings have the tools to better identify and meet need earlier and ensure more children and young people can receive their education in inclusive mainstream settings with their peers. We are committed to," I think this is the bit you really need to listen to, "ensuring a legal right to additional support for children and young people with SEND. Ensuring all children and young people have the support they need to achieve and thrive. Improving inclusivity and expertise in mainstream schools as well as ensuring swift access to special schools for children and young people with the most complex needs. That's what's causing me massive concern. That sounds to me that only children that are deemed to have complex needs, deemed by whom, you know, and the rest is the plan just to keep them in mainstream school, because I very much doubt that my son or even your son and many other children would be deemed to have complex needs. Neither can they access mainstream schools. So where does that leave them? I'll carry on and read the rest of the letter. So the next bullet point under we are committed to is restoring confidence in the system of support for children and young people with SEND so that they all get the chance to achieve and thrive in their education. Any changes we make will improve support for families, stop parents from having to fight for support, and protect effective support currently in place. Details of the government's intended approach to strengthening the SEND system will be set out in a school's white paper in the autumn. As part of developing our approach, we are working with parents and young people, organisations which represent parents, local authorities, SEND organisations and education settings across the country, as well as sector experts. We share the widespread view that improvements to the SEND system are badly needed. The forthcoming consultation on the white paper will be key to shaping the reforms of the SEND system so that every child and young person can achieve and thrive, and we continue to break down barriers to opportunity.
While the increase in EHCPs is a positive sign, it underscores the urgent need for adequate resources. Since their introduction in 2014, the number of children and young people with EHC plans has consistently risen. However, the percentage of plans issued within the statutory timeframe of 20 weeks has decreased. In 2024, only 46.4% of new EHC plans were issued on time, which is down from 50.3% in 2023.
These statistics are concerning. They indicate that despite more children being recognised as needing support, the system is struggling to deliver the support promptly. Families often find themselves waiting with their children's educational needs going unmet.
This is just so frustrating. The percentage of requests that led to an assessment has also slightly declined. 65.4% of requests of assessments proceeded in 2024, down from 67.3% the previous year. This contributes to the anxiety and uncertainties families experience as they navigate the system.
It's a challenging situation. Many parents have witnessed firsthand the delays, the underfunding, the gaps in the mental health services like CAMHS. And the concern is that instead of addressing these systemic issues, the government might eliminate the very protections families depend on.
That's the crux of the issue. Families are already facing significant challenges, and the thought of losing essential support is really distressing. We need to keep advocating for the rights of our children and ensure that their voices are heard in this ongoing discussion. So let's explore why EHCPs are crucial. We began the process for getting our son's EHCP while he was in mainstream school, before his diagnosis. This was after he had struggled so much in the first year at school, where he was mostly outside for the whole day and also on a reduced timetable. His EHCP is reviewed annually, and it's such a valuable document. It's something that teachers and other professionals can refer to so they can understand our son's needs in a lot of detail. So as an example, he has a new teacher this year, and she is able to look at his EHCP to understand his profile, any difficulties he has, his stage of education and development. The annual reviews are a great way to check he's being fully supported and to track his progress and set goals for his future. If he didn't have that document, I'd be concerned and anxious about him getting the support he needs so that he can succeed in school. It holds everyone accountable. If we didn't have that, and perhaps he wasn't being supported in the right way, his education could fall apart really quickly, which could have a really big impact on his future.
I really echo what you've said here for my son too. His EHCP is essential to ensuring his needs are met. It's scary to think what could happen to him without it. It underscores the importance of timely and appropriate support for our children. I mean, there's so many stories of families who are made to wait years for an EHCP, leaving their children, you know, completely out of school during that time. We know from our community that waiting lists and delays leave families struggling to find resources.
Exactly. This situation is about more than just education. It directly impacts our children's well-being. Statistics show that permanent exclusions from schools have risen by 39%, disproportionately affecting children with SEND. These exclusions can lead to severe academic and emotional consequences. I mean, we have experience of the impact of suspensions, and they can be so damaging to the child.
When children are excluded, as I know you've experienced, Nat, they often face isolation, anxiety, and a sense of hopelessness. Many miss out on essential social interactions, which are vital for their development. It's not just that it's a loss of education, it's a loss of stability and connection as well.
It really does make me cross that this happens to children of 5, 6, 7 years of age, and the reason is they are not being supported in the way that they need to be. Teachers just don't have the knowledge and skills that they need. When EHCPs are implemented effectively, they can transform outcomes. They provide safe pathways to school and access to teaching assistants, which are crucial for helping navigate their educational environment. Families report that having an EHCP means their child receives tailored support, whether it's specialised teaching methods, therapy, or other accommodations.
Yeah, that's right. EHCPs also ensure that children can access specialist services, including speech and language therapy, occupational therapy, or mental health support. Without these essential provisions, children may struggle to reach their full potential, which is so sad.
The legal protections associated with EHCPs empower parents to advocate effectively for their children. They create a framework for accountability, enabling families to challenge inadequate provisions. Without these protections, parents often feel overwhelmed and powerless.
And we must acknowledge the emotional toll this process takes on families. The stress of navigating the system, as we well know, along with worries about their child's future, it can just be so overwhelming. Families find themselves tirelessly advocating for basic support, which can lead to burnout and feelings of isolation. We see it everywhere.
Yes, this is so true. We hear from parents who feel like they're engaged in a relentless battle. Securing an EHCP is often fraught with challenges, from paperwork to meetings, and delays can be incredibly frustrating. Despite documented needs, the system often fails to deliver timely support.
And the longer families wait for an EHCP, the more detrimental the impact on their children's development. We know early intervention is key. Delays can lead to missed opportunities, causing children to fall further behind their peers with long-lasting consequences.
And the ripple effects extend beyond education into mental health, social skills, and even physical health. Children without appropriate support are at a higher risk of developing anxiety and depression, creating a cycle that we desperately need to break.
So it's clear that when EHCPs function as intended, they do provide crucial support and pathways to success, but when they fall short, the consequences can be dire, not only for the child, but for the entire family.
We must continue advocating for a system that works for all families, ensuring that every child receives the support they need. The stakes are too high to ignore this issue. It's essential that we keep the conversation going and push for meaningful reforms that truly address our children's needs. Now, while the government often discusses the financial implications of EHCPs, let's consider the broader costs of not providing these essential plans. What are the repercussions?
That's a vital question. When parents are compelled to leave work to care for their children, it impacts not just their family, but also the economy at large. The loss of tax revenue from parents stepping away from their careers is significant and places additional strain on public services.
Absolutely. The immediate financial burden is just the tip of the iceberg. We must also consider the long-term consequences. Families who struggle to secure appropriate support often face higher health and social care costs later. For instance, the children without adequate support are more likely to experience mental health challenges, which can lead to increased demand for healthcare services.
Exactly. Long-term exclusion from education isn't just a statistic. It has profound implications for both children and families. Excluded children miss out on crucial social interactions, leading to feelings of isolation and a lack of belonging. This can negatively affect their self-esteem and mental health, creating a cycle that's hard to break.
The impact of exclusion extends beyond childhood. Without a solid education and support system, many children may struggle to find stable employment as adults, perpetuating a cycle of poverty. It's essential to change our perspective and view EHCPs as an investment in our children's future rather than a drain on resources.
Definitely, investing in early support not only improves outcomes for children but also reduces costs for society in the long run. By equipping children with the tools they need to succeed, we foster a more productive and engaged society.
And let's also consider the emotional toll on families. The stress and anxiety of navigating a broken system can lead to burnout and affect family dynamics. The cost of not investing in EHCPs extends beyond financial implications. It impacts the well-being of families and communities.
Let's shift our focus to teachers and schools, as they are integral to this discussion. It's noteworthy that most EHCP applications are initiated by schools rather than parents. I think the school initiated yours, didn't it, Nat? I've done one of each.
Yes, teachers are often the first to identify children who require additional support. However, they have expressed a need for more SEND training. 30% of teachers have indicated this in Ofsted reports. Without adequate training and resources, classrooms can quickly become unmanageable.
That's a significant issue. When teachers lack the necessary training to effectively support children with SEND, it affects not only those children, but also the entire classroom environment. Disruptions can lead to frustration for both teachers and students, ultimately impacting the learning experience for everyone.
Right. If reforms remove the legal protections provided by EHCPs, schools and teachers could be set up to fail, lacking the frameworks necessary to advocate for their students. This can lead to heightened stress and burnout among educators who already face substantial challenges.
That's it. The impact on educators can't be overlooked. When teachers feel unsupported, it can result in higher turnover rates, which, you know, exacerbates instability in schools. Consistency is crucial for children, especially those with SEND, who thrive in stable environments.
It's essential to provide teachers with the training and resources they need to support all students effectively. This not only benefits the children with SEND, but also enhances the overall educational experience for everyone in the classroom.
As we advocate for better SEND provisions, we must acknowledge the importance of supporting our educators. A well-supported teacher can make a significant difference in a child's educational journey, particularly for those with additional needs. I know it's something that we've both seen.
Absolutely. By investing in both children and their teachers, we can create a more inclusive and effective education system that benefits everyone. As we wrap up our discussion, we want to encourage parents and carers to take action. Share your voices, write to your MPs, join consultations, and respond to the public calls for evidence.
Absolutely. Supporting each other through parent groups, SEND forums, and charities is crucial. And remember to keep records and know your rights if reforms come into play.
We have to keep talking about this. Decision makers need to understand the human impact, not just the budget lines.
Before we end, we want to reassure you that whatever the reforms look like, we'll continue sharing information and stories to help families navigate the system. We invite you to share your stories with us for future episodes. Your experiences can help others feel less alone.
And lastly, we're attending the Fight for Ordinary SEND rally on Monday, the 15th of September, in Parliament Square Garden in London. This is a peaceful gathering to stand together for every family affected by the SEND crisis.
This is a chance to make our voices heard, and we would love for you to join us there. Bring your placards, your stories, and your passion.
15th of September, in Parliament Square Garden in London from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Children are also welcome too.
Let's show them that we will not be ignored. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast. We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone.
If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it.
And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com.
Until next time, take care.